Hey mama, Shaz here. I'm a millennial mama to a toddler, a makeup artist, plant mom, and editor at Sassy Mama. Join me as I chat with other cool mamas and dads to get the scoop on family life and of course, top tips for getting your babies to sleep through the night and how to help your tweens go completely device-free. Just kidding, but we'll try our best. Welcome to the Sassy Mama Unfiltered Podcast. Today, we've got Andrea Claire with us, Canadian hair and makeup artist to everyone from the regular everyday woman to Hollywood stars. So you may know her on Instagram as A Claire Beauty. We love her for her candid, bold views on all things beauty, aging, and just life in general. So without further ado, hello, Andrea.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for having us. So a bit of background. I mean, we did interview you sometime back for our That Mama on the website, and we just loved all the sharings that you gave us, that we wanted to have you back.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit more about yourself for all the people who don't know you.
I'm an open book, so let me see. So you said I'm from Canada.
Yes.
I have three daughters. We moved to Singapore in 2007 and we're still here. I have two older daughters that are actually back in Canada. So my eldest daughter is 27 now, and my middle daughter is 24. My eldest daughter is a chef, but she works as a food stylist.
And it's so cool.
It's very cool.
I've seen her photos on Instagram.
Yeah, so good. And actually, we have the same agent in Toronto.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
I love that, actually. It just makes my agents, they all feel old now that they represent my daughter as well. And then my 24-year-old does floral design. And
so cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Wow.
And then I have, of course, Zoe, who's she's only 13, so we don't have her out in the workforce yet, but you know, we're getting there.
She's working, she's very busy right now, doing all kinds of things. But what about you? I mean, you've been in the hair and makeup industry for, you know, decades.
Like 30 years. Actually, I think it's like 32 or something now. If
wow.
I did the math. Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow, that's crazy.
I honestly look at myself in the mirror and just, maybe it's not like my visual, but my mental, I definitely don't feel that old. Like, I just turned 50 this year, which is a nightmare. I want to interject some other words in there too, but I'll keep it PG. I don't actually feel my age, you know?
Yeah, but that's good. I guess you don't really fixate on the number too much.
Yeah.
I guess just like busy living life.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And like 32 years of doing something that you love probably doesn't even feel like much.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I do love it. I love my job. And I love the fact, like, so I've done everything. So I'm a licensed hairstylist. Like in Canada, you have to have a license to cut hair. You can't just like randomly do hair.
They pop with like a pair of scissors in it.
Yeah. Just watch a YouTube video and suddenly you're a hairstylist. Actually, I took makeup artistry before I did hairstyling. But I was a teenager and it was the 80s when I took it. And it's funny because my part-time job on the weekends was working in a hair salon doing makeup touch-ups for women.
Right.
And if you, I mean, I could send you some photos of me in the 80s. It was pretty crazy. And I did weird stuff with my hair and makeup, of course. And this is how I would show up to work.
Yeah.
And women would be like, it's okay. I don't need a makeup touch-up. You know, it was complimentary from the salon as well. But I think I just frightened them, like being basically like 14, 15 years old with like crazy.
Experimenting.
Yeah.
On your
like
own
Susie and the Banshees, like the like Bananarama, Cyndi Lauper. That was all my kind of makeup look. So
yeah, the muses, and then they probably saw you and went like, no, not for me. That's cool. So that's how exactly did you really start out in the industry? You know, after like doing all this assisting, and things like that.
So how I started, like I was saying, I was in high school when I did my makeup artistry course, And then when I finished high school, I started working in a hair salon in a small town west of Toronto, actually called Kitchener-Waterloo.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started there actually as a makeup artist, and I was doing the front desk reception. And the owner of the salon asked me if I wanted to, they wanted to teach me how to do color applications and shampoos. Because I remember it was a busy time over the Christmas holidays, and they were short-staffed. And honestly, there's not really a big call out, I think even to this day, for people that do makeup in salons, like right.
It's not a thing anymore. Yeah, not really.
I don't ever think it was a thing. Mm. Like, it's just an added service that salons offer, but nobody really
takes
it.
Yeah, that's true. You can see it on the price list, but nobody actually asks
for it. Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, of course I was like, yeah, sure. I wasn't even thinking about being a hairstylist, right? Mm. And then after the Christmas holidays, I kind of still kept doing that. And then they asked me if I wanted to apprentice. So in Canada, you have an apprenticeship program. You can go to school or you can apprentice. And so I did the apprenticeship program. And that took me, I worked at a couple different salons. And then part of your apprenticeship program, you need a certain number of hours, basically like a college apprentice, like trade school, right? Mm. For the apprenticeship program in a salon at that time,
yeah,
I'm sure things have changed. It was the equivalent of having 2 years full-time in the salon.
Oh, wow.
So you're basically assisting for 2 years full-time in a salon. And then you have 4 months of trade school. I kind of prefer the way that I did it. I mean, I guess I would because I did it.
Yeah.
But
it's the best way.
It's the best way. My way is always the best way. But it's like with when you're working in a salon as an apprentice, your teachers are all the staff.
Yeah.
Right? Versus when you go to a school, you're with like maybe 20 to 30 students and one or two teachers.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
The apprenticeship I find is better. This way kind of helps you develop your own style as well, right? Since I'm from Ontario, there was only 2 trade schools at that time you can go to, one in London, Ontario, and one in Toronto. And of course, I always gravitated towards fashion. No offense to the London, Ontario people, but I thought fashion is Toronto.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's like the capital also, right? So is it?
No.
Like, look at me and my geographical knowledge.
No, but it's okay. Ottawa. Ottawa's the capital. Okay, and okay. And so that's in Ontario.
Oh,
so
right.
So we'll give you that. Yeah.
I've never been, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
My dad's been to Quebec, though.
Oh, okay.
Is that how you pronounce it? Quebec?
Everybody's different, but yeah. I mean, I would say Quebec.
Quebec.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a football player, so he actually played with like one of the teams there.
Yeah.
I didn't follow. I was still very young, so yeah. That's the only knowledge of Canada.
Yeah. That's good. It's good knowledge.
Yeah. So that's really cool. I mean, even, you know, doing, you started out that way, but then eventually it just branched out into doing celebrity makeup, and also, you know, you do hairstyling for so many women here, and like you really, really save their frizzy hair.
Yeah.
It's in Singapore.
It's been something, obviously, that I know because it's my job,
yeah.
Right? And in Canada, we do have very humid months. Mm. That's actually more humid than Singapore and hotter than Singapore, but that's what, 2-3 months?
Exactly. It doesn't last. Yeah. I mean, like, we like, you know, summer all year round, all kinds of humidity, like doesn't matter what month you're in.
But it's one thing that a lot of women that have naturally curly hair, it definitely happens to them. But women with straight hair, you can get frizzy hair too, right?
Yeah.
Basically, it's the lack of moisture in the hair, and then the moisture in the environment can kind of get into the hair shaft. So, I have so many women that are telling me that it's like, oh, I just have frizzy hair. And honestly, a lot of times they end up having natural curl or wave to their hair. And it's also sometimes just a lack of product. And sometimes they get a bit of resistance because people think they know their own hair.
True.
And I'm just like, well, I'm a trained professional.
Let me tell you about your hair.
Yeah, exactly.
So the other thing I think you mentioned also is that a lot of women seem bothered by their gray hairs when they come and see you.
Yes.
But when you ask them like to level with you, they actually are not. And it's just because of peer pressure or like something somebody said to them in passing.
Yeah.
So do you still find that to be true now?
What I have noticed, a lot of women haven't kept up on their hair appointments and they realize when it starts to grow out that they actually kind of like it.
Yeah.
So when I do have clients that come to me and ask me to color their hair, you know, one of my, especially if it's a first time client consultation, I always ask them, and it's really important for them to kind of give me the honest answer. It's like, when you walk out of here, do you care if you see any gray hair, or do you want every single gray hair covered? Because that's important. And that tells me what options we can work with, right? And then I have some women that say, oh, well, I don't mind my gray hair, but I was at lunch with a friend of mine and she told me that I looked old because of my gray hair. And you know, I just kind of feel like, get yourself some new friends if those are your friends. But but it's also, you know, there's so many different dynamics in there and so many different things you can do with the hair. if you have gray hair and you want to cover it, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I kind of say, like, there's no wrong answer. Mm. The answer is whatever's for you, not for your your best friend who should not be your best friend.
But
and then there's things that you could do, like you can do, and depending on the color, the natural color of the hair, you can throw in some highlights that kind of
complement, or
blends in or something, or you can do semi-permanent colors. The one thing that I notice with women when they're, especially now again, like with COVID, and people have kind of not had the frequency of their hair appointments. And so when you get that kind of grown out demarcation line from the color, right? So maybe you have your natural salt and pepper, let's say salt and pepper hair up to the tops of your ears, right? Then from there down, you've got this like solid, like whether it's blonde or whether it's brown.
Yeah, half faded, don't know what color.
Yeah, exactly. That is what makes you look old. And I've done this with clients where I've said, like, watch yourself in the mirror. And when I hide that grown out color, suddenly they don't look that
You know, like haggard or as old as they thought they did.
Yeah. I mean, I would never say haggard.
No, I'm that's just the word I went to because it's just a term that we use. Well, obviously not haggard. But I mean, like, you know, just probably unkempt is another word. Yeah.
So it, again, it's just something that I say to people. So not the haggard, the what's important to you when you walk out of here, right?
Yeah.
And then I spend a lot of time doing consultations with clients, whether they want to change or whether they're a first time client. And I'm going to have to say, if I can pat myself on the back, which I will, but I've had people have said to me afterwards that they really appreciate the amount of time that I take talking to them. Now, I do have the added benefit of like I'm doing hair in a home studio.
Yes.
And so I'm not on a strict schedule. You know, usually salons will book clients every 45 minutes to an hour for haircuts and then add a time for color, whatever. And they use their assistants in the salon for shampoos and stuff. So that I feel like the attention is not necessarily there.
Yeah, whereas you are like, you know, start to finish, you're there the whole way, right?
Yeah. When I had gone to Toronto to do my trade school, I ended up landing a job there at a salon called Chevello, which is still there. There was this one makeup artist. Her name is Kate Best. She had also was doing a jewelry line, and I bought a bracelet from her. I remember because every time she came into the salon, she was just like a really nice kind of down to earth person. She now has done J-Lo's makeup for a movie that's coming out.
Ooh.
And it's funny because we've never kind of stayed in touch. I can't even really say that we're friends, but I think again it's like kind of like that energy, you know. She was just a good person, and Instagram, like social media, is great.
It connects you with everyone.
Anyway, I saw Kate. I slid into her DMs and I described the bracelet that I bought from her. She's like, oh my God, that was ages ago. I can't believe that I remember that.
Wow.
Anyway, so we've stayed connected that way. And actually, on my way here is when I saw that she was showing the J-Lo movie that's coming out with her work.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's kind of going off on a little.
No, it's fine. I mean, it's a nice segue into my next question is, who do you think is the most famous person you've done makeup on so far?
Oh gosh, that's a really, really good question, actually, because I feel like it kind of depends on the time of do I say year, decade? Oh my God, I want to say it depends on the decade.
Era.
Well, back when the T-Rex was roaming the earth, I worked on.
In the prehistoric days.
Yeah. But some of the names, like I worked on Seal.
Yes, I remember you mentioning that.
Yeah. And that was here in Singapore, actually.
Wow.
And it was so funny because we were walking around Chinatown and there were these older uncles like popping out of coffee shops and they were coming out going, "Kiss from a rose." And he was just so great with the people. He had like no sleep. Actually, I got called that morning because they forgot to book grooming. We call it grooming when we're doing
men. Yes, for men, yeah.
I happened to not be working that day. It was totally random.
Oh my God, the stars really aligned for you.
Totally aligned. Yeah. And the other thing is, too, is I never answer my phone if I don't recognize the phone number. So I was like looking at my phone going, I don't know who that is. But for some reason, something told me to answer it.
Like,
Yeah. And there was this woman on the other end of the line. And she was like, oh, Andrea, just wondering if you're available today, if you could be here in like 45 minutes to work on Seal.
Oh my God.
And I was like,
just casual.
I was still in a towel dripping from my shower. I'm like, sure, 45 minutes. Send me the address. I'll be right there.
Oh my gosh. And how did that woman know you, like, to call you up?
I'm trying to remember, how did she know me?
You were probably already working in the industry for a while, like in Singapore.
Yeah, so I'm trying to remember what year that was. I feel like that was 2011 or something.
Okay.
Maybe.
You would have already like found your footing here, started working in some jobs.
Yeah,
right,
And then actually recently, well, of course, there's Henry Golding and Liv Lowe.
Yes, his wife.
Yeah. Actually, Liv and I met, she had just moved here, I think, from Japan. And we were at an event for Furla, I think it was. Mm. And we met there. And, just started talking. Yeah. And then her and I did a job together because she used to model as well. So we did a job together. I don't remember what it was. But anyway, but we really got along, of course. Mm. And then that just kind of, I guess, like snowballed into a working relationship. And then once she started doing more TV hosting and stuff, then she started requesting me for hair and makeup, which is nice. It's always nice to kind of have a vibe when you're working with somebody regularly. And then it was funny because I went home to Canada for the summer and I was coming back, and sometimes there's a bit of a hiccup with WhatsApp where your messages don't come through.
Right.
I guess when you're on the plane or something. I guess it was a day or two after I got back to Singapore, she sent me a note saying, hey, are you in town? Can you respond to my agent? And I'm like, yes, I'm in town. I didn't get any messages. Anyway, so she sent me the details and I followed up. And that was when they were doing the premiere for
Crazy Rich Asians.
I'm like, what was that movie again?
Yeah.
And so she requested for me to do her makeup and Henry's grooming. So.
For the red carpet.
Yeah,
so
for the red carpet. Yeah, it was so cool. And then, of course, I was, like, so excited.
Yeah, fangirling. And
yeah. I mean, you know what? Henry's a really, really nice guy. I met him very briefly when they were getting married. I did her hair and makeup for her ROM.
Mm.
And, of course, I knew who he was because, you know, her and I, when we would work together periodically. But I don't think I had ever met him at that point. And when I got to their place to do her hair and makeup for the ROM, and he opened up the door, and I was like, holy cow, this man is, like, super hunk. Like, he's good looking on camera, but in person, it's like...
I'm sure, right? And he's, like,
so, my fan.
Yeah, like, tall and towering.
Yeah, and you know what? And just, like, a really sweet, sweet soul, you know? And I also got hired... Romy, and I don't know how to pronounce her last name, but she's a supermodel with Victoria's Secret. I got hired to do her hair and makeup for this Mido Watch event. Like, I've worked on Natalie Imbruglia, like, years ago.
Oh my gosh.
I did her nails. I mean, I'm always like, let's be above board. I was hired as the manicurist. Actually, I worked with her twice on two different commercials. This is before moving to Singapore, actually. 2005, maybe 2004. The first commercial... I was hired to be the assistant to the hairstylist, who was this really lovely guy from Australia. And it was funny because he was like, I don't know why they gave me an assistant because I'm giving her a ponytail and I don't need your help. Mm. But I just said to them, like, at this point, too, it was kind of already... I've already been in my career for a while,
right.
And I'm, like, super helpful, like, whatever. And I knew the guys were only here for the commercial. So I said, look, like... If you don't really need me to do much, like if you need me to run errands or whatever, one of the errands included me going to get the bottle of champagne for them from the hotel so we could have a glass of champagne. I'm like, sure, I'm in. I could do that. No problem.
I mean, honestly, if you're called to the job and all you have to do is things like that, it's probably like easy money also.
Yeah, it was. And actually, Natalie was really super nice. And after we finished shooting that... She took us all out for dinner. Like, everybody, we call it the beauty department or the glam squad, right?
The glam squad, yeah.
So we all went out for dinner. And then the second time she came back, I was requested to do her nails. So that's great. That meant I could put her officially on my resume since it was me as the key artist, right?
Yes.
But then it was funny because I had planned to go out with friends for dinner, right? And being in this industry, it's crazy because things come up last minute. Sometimes you're working like, Well, a 10-hour day is a good day, right? Mm. Or like an easy day. Like yeah. I worked on an IKEA commercial once where we were 22 hours
if
into the shoot.
If it's a shoot, yeah, if it's like a commercial shoot or something, just, yeah, don't make plans for the rest of the week, basically.
Exactly.
I've been there.
My friends, there was, I think, about 7 or 8 of us meeting for dinner back in Waterloo. Mm. So that's like an hour west of Toronto, right? They were like, we made this plan. I picked the restaurant. I made the reservations. All my friends were like, do not cancel on us. I'm like, I'm not going to cancel on you, don't worry. Then I got booked on this job with Natalie. She was like, hey Andrea, what are you doing afterwards? Are you gonna come and hang out with me? And I'm like, I would love to, but I said, you know the industry, like I can't, like I need to hang out with my friends. Yeah I get it. I then fast forward, finish the shoot, I'm driving on the highway, did not answer my phone, but then when I got to Waterloo and I parked my car, there was a voicemail. So I listened to it, and here's Nellie and Brulia. She's like, Andrea, you beep, get back here and come party with me. And I'm like, oh, so I had this great, you know.
Yeah, proof.
So I remember I got to the table, and I set my phone down, and I put it on speaker, and I played it for everybody.
Of course you did.
Yeah, and anyway, and actually it was funny because I still had that, because I would save it, but then we were moving to Singapore. Mm. I mean, at that time I should have been a bit smarter and I just recorded something because it was just cool to have, right?
You've been in the industry so long, you've had so many cool adventures, and also right now with everything being on Instagram, social media and everything, you have been very, very outspoken about the usage of filters.
Yes. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, I mean, was there ever like a point or any incident that actually led you to really have this opinion?
It's more about industry focused, right? Mm. So I see other makeup artists that'll post like behind the scenes with so-and-so for blah, blah, blah. And you can see that it's filtered.
Yeah.
And to me, that's not behind the scenes, right? That's you're editing the photo. Like, I don't care if you're out with your grandma and you're like, you know, having noodles and you take a photo and you Photoshop yourselves. I mean, you know, but when you're basically influencing from like about a brand, and if you're enhancing how a brand works or your craft, I think that's wrong. And that's where my big thing is with filters. I think it really sends the wrong message. Mm. I looked up some different articles, which I can bang them off to you if you want. But, but you know, Norway has made it illegal. Mm. It's mandated that, it says influencers, so I don't know if, I honestly didn't do a massive deep dive into the laws in Norway. Yeah. But they do talk about how influencers need to be very...
explicit about use of filters. Yeah.
Yeah. And then... the UK, it's also like the Advertising Standards Act or something. It's same thing. So I feel like, again, it comes down to if your, say, brand sends you like a bottle of moisturizer and they want you to blog about it or post on social media about it, and if you're enhancing it with any kind of filter, first of all, I think that's wrong. Secondly, you should be putting it on there, right? It's the same. Like I did a campaign for Revlon years ago, and this is like prior to moving here. I think that was like 2006 or 2007. And one of the looks for the makeup looks we did,
fake lashes.
Yeah. Thank you. That's the right word. Oh my God, what do I do for a living? I don't know what it's called. But because we were not selling, it wasn't about the mascara.
Yeah.
Then it was okay. If it's about the mascara, then I guess it depends on which country, because I'm sure all countries are different with their laws. But in Canada, anyway, if you're selling mascara, you cannot use fake eyelashes.
Right. You know, that's what I've always wondered. Like, growing up, looking at all the magazines with the mascara ads and all, and the eyelashes look insanely good.
Yeah.
Like, surely that's not normal lashes with mascara.
You know,
it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so like up close, and it's like a macro shot of the actual eyeball with the lashes growing.
That's why you hire really talented makeup artists. You know?
Okay, so it probably is like really legit, like, you know, makeup
artists. The casting, though, for these kind of jobs.
Yeah.
You know,
they probably just have like out of this world eyelashes naturally anyway. Oh, yeah.
Like model agents will get like a casting sheet of like, we're looking for models with amazing eyelashes, and they send those, you know?
Yeah.
I've been on not many, because casting is not usually up to me, but I have been on casting jobs.
Part of the process.
Where they're coming in, and it's like, you feel feel like I'm sitting there judging you as I'm looking. It's like, okay, can you look to the left? Okay, can you look to the right? Okay, can you put your chin up? Okay, thanks.
You just have to imagine all the like angles that they probably have to be in the photo, right?
Yeah, that's exactly. Why, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's funny, this has also been a discussion lately with some of my clients. Some clients where their daughters are becoming teenagers, right? And some of them wanted to get into modeling, and everyone always asked me about it too. And they're like, oh, how do people handle like rejection and stuff? And obviously that is a big thing to handle. My youngest daughter wants to get into musical theater. And so we've talked about that, auditioning and stuff. It's like, because you're going in front of somebody and essentially you're kind of being judged.
Yeah,
you know?
And the potential, you know, disappointment that you might feel after that also.
Yeah. Mm. What the one thing that I really feel strongly about for my industry is that, because sometimes you don't hire a model because she has dark brown hair and they want a blonde model, or vice versa. And I feel that maybe we just don't think past that because we're like, okay, she doesn't work for the job. Gorgeous, but she doesn't work for the job. Mm. I feel like the feedback should be given to the models.
Right.
Say you didn't get the job because we needed a blonde, you know?
Because if not, then they'll be in their heads like for the rest of the day or whatever after that, right? Yeah. Wondering why they weren't.
And I don't think it's something that they should learn to get used to. Mm. I think that they should just be told, you know?
I guess, I don't know, I'm of two minds with the whole filters thing also, because there's the other camp of people who are like, well, if they feel better with the filter on, then, you know, let people do what they want.
But if you're not selling something, but if you're selling something, yeah.
Right.
And I think there's nothing wrong with it, like, in that regard. But I feel that, or I shouldn't say nothing. I mean, I do feel like there's a little bit. But that's you, right? And I think it's the same thing as, like, you know, coloring your gray hair or not. Like, that's you. Yes. Like, you know, there's kind of no wrong answer for you.
But if it's literal, like, false advertising, then definitely,
Yeah, like it's crazy. Even some brands, which I'm not gonna pull out, but if you look at some beauty brands on Instagram, and they're showing like in the makeup chair, and they're full on brands, and they're not TV commercials.
Yeah.
They're trying to show you how something works, and they're trying to say that the ring light is there. When you start seeing these, like, you know, the flares, like the, I don't know how this is it, Kira, like the Kira
like,
Kira?
Like a Kira Kira looking kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm sorry, but that doesn't actually happen. I mean, once in a while you might catch a flare. Like, have you been on a shoot where you're trying to get like a sun flare? It actually takes a while to get that one sun flare. So it's like if you're doing this in the makeup chair and suddenly there's like 20 like flares, like, I'm sorry, that's man-made.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that is really telling, sometimes it's hard, I have to say, because they have these AI trackings, right? So when you're watching it, you can see where the chin pops out a little bit. Or it's like underneath the eyes a bit like smooth, like that blurry smooth.
Yeah.
But then if they kind of lose the tracking.
Or they turn.
Yes.
Then after it suddenly just like.
And it could be like
away.
A millisecond.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody sees that.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I want to get that because it makes the skin really smooth. It's crazy. There's nothing wrong with saying there's a filter on. It's like it's like with me, like I said, I'm 50 and I've been getting Botox.
Love it.
Since I was 43 or 44, the first time I had it done. I only get it once in a while.
And where do you get it done?
I get on my forehead and sometimes a little bit in the outer corners. The doctor I go to, Dr. Kamati, I love her.
Mm.
And she's great because I can cock only my left eyebrow.
Yeah.
I can't do the other one. I don't know why not.
It's your signature look.
Yeah. So I always tell her I don't want any Botox here because I want to be able to move this.
Mm.
You know, if I can't cock that eyebrow, then,
it's,
you know.
It's not Andrea Claire.
Yeah, exactly. Can't give everybody my side eye.
So you have always been, you know, and you've always been so frank about getting Botox. So like, what do you think of people who are, I mean, we definitely know people who are like, oh, no, I've never had anything done. But
I think that if you're somewhat in the public eye, not that I'm like someone in the public eye, but I feel like with my job, but I feel like with my job, I think it's important, you know, and I think to lie about it doesn't serve any.
Yeah. You're just not dishonest like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're very authentic and,
yeah.
you know, like you said, you're an open book.
Yeah,
you don't
yeah.
mind telling people, you know, everything
yeah.
that you've done. So,
yeah.
but
yeah.
do you get a lot of side eye from people who about that? like the fact that you are so open about
talking
about
it? I don't think so. I mean, unless you're talking about behind my back, which is possible, but no, I don't think so. And I honestly don't care because I'm just being honest and open anyway. Yeah. It's not like I'm making anything up, you know? Right. So, and it's me. So I'm allowed to talk about anything I want about myself, right?
I feel like generally in Singapore, like among the expat community, you guys are very, very open about getting stuff done to your face.
Are we?
Yeah. But like in...
I'm like, okay.
I mean, I don't have a lot of expat friends who have had Botox, but the ones that I know who do it, they are very open about it. Whereas the Singaporeans are more like, I don't know, maybe it's because like the ones that I know who have it are like celebrities, so they don't want to talk about it. But you know, people just constantly speculate. Oh, she looks like she just had something done, but they won't openly say it.
Yeah. I think in general, we're taking better care of ourselves, right? We also take better care of our skin. People are generally not smoking as much as they used to. So all of these things, like years ago, would affect our appearance, right? So even if you're not doing any Botox, if you're sleeping properly and eating properly, then you're, you know, it's that whole like age positive thing, right? I try not to say anti-aging because we all age. There's nothing anti about it.
Yeah,
you know,
might as well embrace it.
A-U-N-T-I-E. But, I think that it's like the only way that we can kind of embrace it is to, and embracing it can also mean that you're getting Botox.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I feel like I've mentioned that I'm 50 like 5 times now, but it's...
How old are you again?
Oh, I'm 50. Did I tell you I turned 50 this year? I'm still accepting gifts, by the way. I have people say to me when I tell them how old I am, they're like, wow, you look so good for your age, which I kind of... It's like when people have had children and they're like, wow, you look so great for being a mother of three.
I would have never guessed.
Like, I don't understand. Like, is that a compliment?
Yeah.
Is that, like, I don't really know.
Why should that be a trophy to have?
Yeah. I mean, I will accept a trophy. I'd like to thank my mother and my children.
But you did mention also that you have, like, just persistently been assumed to be younger than you really are.
Yes.
Throughout.
That can be a pain, actually, to be honest.
Right. No, I can relate, honestly, because I'm in my late 20s right now. And dead ass, when I started working, full time, one of my mom's friends came over and she asked me, oh, have you just finished your PSLE? I was like 20. I just looked at her. I think I didn't even say anything. I just turned around and just went inside my room.
Yeah.
And then after that, I just went on a full rant. I was like, Mom, do you know your friend just assumed I'm like 12?
Yeah, it's so rude.
Yeah, without even asking anything. There's no like follow-up question. Yeah. No like, oh, how are you? No, nothing. Like, oh, did you just finish your PSLE? Like, that was the first thing she said to me.
But it's funny. It's funny, like, some of the questions that come up, too. Like, there's other ways that person could have been talking to you than making an assumption.
Yeah.
Like, could have been like, oh, so what are you up to now?
Exactly.
You know, like, little things like that.
Find out without finding out,
you know? Yeah.
Be a bit more subtle about it.
I went and I had a manicure and I was getting, like, the foot reflexology, too. So I have the woman working on my nails. I have a pillow on my lap. Do you know where I'm going with this?
Yes, I remember the story.
I had a pillow on my lap, and I'm, like, on my phone with one hand because I'm always on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
The uncle said to me, oh, is the pressure okay for the baby? And I'm like, what effing baby? And then he just kind of, like, looked at me. And then the woman spoke to him in Mandarin, which, of course, I don't speak Mandarin, so I don't know what she said. And then he says to me, oh, when you get home, drink a lot of hot water to get rid of all the fat in your body. And you know, like, I understand everybody has a different perspective of how somebody's appearance is, but I don't think of myself as a fat person. No offense to anybody that is or is not, or whatever you identify with.
Yeah.
Like, for me, like I've had 3 children. I kind of know what a woman looks like when she's pregnant. But I will not say, like, your water has to break in front of me and the baby needs to be waving
for you to assume,
like,
assume that you're pregnant.
Or if somebody tells you, but it's like,
yeah.
So, and then also in the realm of like men never saying the right things. Like, I went home, I was actually really upset about it. And I vowed I'm never going to this manicure salon anymore. And I mentioned it to my husband, and my husband was like, just like a man, like mansplaining. He was like, look at the bright side. He thought you were young enough to have a child. I'm like, okay, Janet Jackson, didn't she have a baby at like 60?
True.
Like, come on. Yeah. But also, it's like, no,
that's not the point.
You don't say that. And also, I've lived here for so long. I've always been told that if you're pregnant, you should never have reflexology anyway. So if you thought I was pregnant, you should not have been rubbing my feet.
Exactly.
But also, it's all kinds of like, I went on a downward spiral. I grabbed myself a gin and tonic and like, you know. But it, you know, it's like.
Yeah, no, that really, that would mess with me too. Like, yeah. Oh my God. What? Fucking baby.
You know what? I don't know if I should laugh or cry about this, but I went to a plastic surgeon and I was asking him about liposuction. Mm-hmm. And not bad, is bad to say. I have had a tummy tuck. I will be honest about
that. Oh,
nice. Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Was
it after? Oh, was it after your?
It was after I had my first hip replacement.
Oh, yeah. After chikungunya disease.
After chikungunya, yeah, exactly. I was like, right. Anyway, I'm sure a therapist would have a heyday with me. They could write like a few books on me. But anyway, I went to this plastic surgeon that actually did my original tummy tuck years ago. He's a really nice guy, and he said to me. This is what you want to hear from a plastic surgeon, by the way. He said to me, well, I guess I could do a little bit of liposuction if you wanted, but he's like, you don't really have any fat on your body. I'm like, can you please go tell the uncle that and like in the nail salon, please and thank you.
Leave me a voicemail, I'll play it back.
That's a voicemail. You don't need voicemail from celebrities. You need voicemails from plastic surgeons. You look great.
What? You want to do something to your eyebrows? Why?
Exactly.
You're always talking about entrepreneurship and also just being your own woman.
Yeah.
I mean, you came up with this fabulous Trailing Spouse series.
Thank you. The series of one.
Yeah. I mean, so far, we'll see how it goes, right? I mean, the first one that you did was with Jessica Broughton of Konako Style.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so interesting. I loved watching that episode. It was
thank you. Candid
and raw.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so what gave you the idea to start the series?
Thank you so much for asking this question. You know what gave me the idea is the fact that it comes from how people have kind of made assumptions about me. Like I've had the expat community and the local community have asked me if I was a bored housewife with my kids at school and my husband's a husband at work, and did I take up hair and makeup since living here, you know. And I realized that, you know, it's a community that nobody spends time to get to know each other, right? And we all have stories to tell, you know, and there's nothing wrong with whatever your story is. So I wanted to do this like Trailing Spouse so people could understand the community here in Singapore. You know, we're not all entitled women that are drinking our whatever Aperol Spritz, although I do like my Aperol Spritz for sure. But taking our tennis lessons and complaining about our helpers and our husbands, right? Like there's a lot more. We run deeper than that. I have a client who's actually become a friend. She's not working. She has kids. She could work probably if she wanted to, but she chooses not to, and she's okay with that. And I think that it would be nice to have like a series with the Trailing Spouse interviewing a bunch of different women from different walks of life. And it's funny because I've had women that have sent me private messages and I think commented on my, because I did a teaser on my Instagram and on my Facebook page. Most of the comments I've received privately, right? Which is nice.
Yeah.
But I wish that they would share that publicly.
Right.
I did have one woman say, I wish I could do this too. And I'm like, I would love for you to do it. And she said, I don't want to get kicked out of Singapore. And I'm like, what do you plan on saying? I understand like that fear can be very real.
It is,
of course.
It is, yeah. I don't know. I guess maybe it's just a... It's like a stigma thing also, like when you read the comments from locals on like, you know, issues like this or anything that has to do with an expat on like Facebook or whatever, and it's always so harsh.
Yeah.
And it's probably because they don't know anybody like you in real life, personally. So all they do is like, oh, they're just here, like, you know, taking our money, taking our jobs or whatever, and then just like kick them out. But that's probably not what the actual government would do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And I think too, just to kind of get to know your neighbor, so to speak, right? It is kind of too bad that the general consensus is that the Trailing Spouse is a bunch of entitled women with money and nothing else to do, which is also not the case. And there also are Trailing Spouses that are men.
Yeah,
the percentage is not as high, but But I also wanted to keep the trailing spouse about women. I didn't, because I did have people ask me if I would consider a man in an episode. And I was like, I would consider it, but I really feel that, I mean, in my big series of one. But I feel like in general and that women, we don't really get...
that airtime.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I guess just everybody needs to practice a bit more empathy also.
Yeah.
Yeah. And understanding, and not just like make judgments so quickly. Yeah. I mean, I've always been fascinated by the stories that expat women have even before coming to Singapore, because I cannot imagine doing it myself.
Yeah.
You know, dropping everything and then moving to a new country and then after that just like starting everything from scratch.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not easy.
I mean, I have to say for me, because of coming from Canada, my career was already established, right? Actually, my first job that I did was for the Gallery Hotel, which I guess is no longer. And we were shooting nudes, which is illegal. I don't know if it's still illegal.
I have no idea.
But they had to get permission from the censorship board. And I remember thinking, great, my very first like job in Singapore, I'm gonna get kicked out, right?
Yeah, so I guess besides all your professional life, there's also your family life. I mean, you've got two older daughters all the way, literally on the other side of the world. Like, what's it like being away from your two eldest?
It's hard, of course. The one thing that is great is the fact that we have video chats, right? I'm grateful that we have that kind of technology. It is hard because, you know, just to kind of be there for somebody emotionally, sometimes it's better to be in person.
Yeah.
My older daughter, she's fine now. I feel like I have to preface the story with that. But in 2019, so I did get home, but she had a really bad car accident.
Oh.
And it's so funny. I don't know if you can see it, but every time I tell stories about my kids where they've been hurt or something, I start getting teary right away. Like, it's a bit ridiculous.
You're such
right?
a mom.
I'm such a mom. I'm like the helicopter, like high maintenance mother, and I'm okay with that. I own it. But so I had to book a flight and get home, and thankfully, you know, I could, right?
Yeah.
And thankfully she's fine, and there hasn't been any family emergencies.
That must have been a long flight also. I mean, like, by the time you reached there, she was probably like,
she was out of surgery.
Oh,
and
wow.
So that was, I mean, that was good. Everything went well and whatever. But that's hard, right? Because
You know, you just never know.
You never know. Yeah. Knock on wood.
Yes.
I think that's plastic. Here's wood. But, yeah.
So. Yeah, and also with such a big age gap, like, how do you think parenting your two elder ones and your current youngest differ? Because they're like two different generations, right?
They are two different generations. Yeah. You know, I've thought about this often, and maybe it's just my perspective. I feel like my parenting is kind of the same. I feel like I've always been patient with my kids, and I've always talked to them like they're humans, and I never really did baby talk or anything. And I've always kind of taught them just to kind of stand up for themselves and voice their opinions, which sometimes backfires on me, but like, the one thing that I find is different, like, sometimes we're watching TV shows with Zoe, and I'm like, you know, if there's something like sex related or something on, I'm like quick to like close your eyes, I'm gonna fast forward. Whereas I think my other kids, because I was young and cool, you know, I'd be like, oh, that's a penis, you know, like, where now I'm like, Zoe, look away, don't look at the TV. Although we started watching Sex Education. This is where everybody can judge me right now. I'm okay if you want to judge me, it's fine. But we started watching Sex Education because so many people were, like, clients of mine were talking about it, and Zoe was coming home from school telling me that her friends were watching it.
Remind me again, your youngest is 14 now?
13,
okay.
Yeah. And so I said to her, okay, we'll watch it together, because I kind of feel like it's better to have conversations than just let your kids go off and watch it on their own.
Yeah.
There was a lot of fast forwarding. So this is where your judgment can stop, because I did fast forward a lot in that show.
Right.
But anyway, there's a lot of great conversations to be had in the show.
Just having open conversations like that probably beckon her to be more open to talking to you about this kind of thing if the questions come up, right?
Yeah.
And not being shy or like, square me about it.
Yeah. I'm a whole believer in like complete open communication, whether it's your kids or friends or whatever, have the cards on the table. Like there's no, life is too short, right? Yeah. You might as well just be open and honest with people. It doesn't mean you have to tell everybody everything. Like yeah, I do. I mean, I tell everybody everything, but especially with children, then they feel more comfortable to talk to you. I also find, and maybe my kids could answer this, but I don't really feel like my kids have really succumbed to any peer pressure because I've always taught them that they have choices and they always have a voice, you know? And I think that that is important because I think if parents are too like, no, you can't do that. And you can't, like, even like from 3 years old where they want to dress themselves, they're like, you can't wear that. It doesn't match. Like, I could never care less. Yeah. I'm like, put on whatever you want.
Yeah,
like,
go
we
got to
get going, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Just so that they can make their own decisions as well and just own what they decide. Right.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that more parents are being more open to talking about such conversations.
Yeah.
Because like I grew up in a bit of a stifling environment where it's very like Asian taboo also to like talk about certain things so you don't bring it up, you know. It's like, don't date, you know, don't be boyfriend, girlfriend with anybody. But then the moment you reach a certain age, why, how come you're still not married? Going that over in my head every time when I was a teen, I'm like, you stop me from seeing people, but then later when I reach a certain age, you're gonna ask me why I'm not married.
Yeah.
So you know, when does it stop?
Yeah.
When does it begin?
Exactly.
How are you imparting your age positive mindset to your teen? Because you know, now, you know, with social media and everything, especially with her age group being like a prime example of the, you know, being on TikTok, being on Instagram and stuff like that. Like, has she ever been influenced by all the stuff that she sees on social media?
I don't think that. But you know, the one thing that I have to say that does bug me on social media is there, and I'm not, and then like stammer trying to articulate this. There's a lot of conversation about like phobias and. Like, on one hand, it's great to have conversations about, like, mental illness and mental awareness and phobias. Like, yes, absolutely. That should be a regular part of the conversation. Nobody should feel like it's taboo. But I do find that sometimes my daughter is saying, oh, I think I have this, or I think I have that. I mean, it's almost kind of like WebMD, right? Mm. Like, where it's like, it's like you have, like something, like a pain in your arm, and you're like, I think I have a blood clot. WebMD says I have a blood clot. You know, it's like that kind of thing. I mean, not that I'm comparing, like, blood clots to mental illness, but you know what I mean? It's that, like, the almost like the power of suggestion, and then people start Googling things.
Yeah.
I mean, I do it too,
yes,
to be
course.
Honest. You know, I think we all do it.
Yeah. Which is the last thing we should do, by the way, because like it just ends up freaking us out.
Yeah. Like she, like I feel like a lot of kids, I don't want to say like her in particular, but I mean, she has said it, but I feel like a lot of parents talk about their kids having anxiety issues.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, and maybe they do, like I'm not a doctor.
Of course.
I mean, in case I needed to tell you, but like maybe it's true. I mean, maybe there is a high number of people that have anxiety issues.
Or like
right?
to a certain degree.
Yeah. But people are talking about like getting medications and I think there was a time where people were talking about their kids having ADD and ADHD, and now it's like ADD, ADHD, anxiety issues. Like I can't list them all
There's
off.
There's a whole spectrum.
And that, again, I think it's good that it's part of a conversation. But how do you tell somebody, like your child, like not to read into it, not to start doing it. A tick box of like, oh, I have it, right? Because I always make this joke. I don't know if I could say this, but it's not a curse word, so I feel like I can say it. I always joke around and say, like, if I looked hard enough, I've got the symptoms for testicular cancer.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
it's kind of like, if you're going to look for it, it's going to be there, right?
I guess it's just a hypersensitivity to all these things also now, because it's such an open conversation and it's just always being mentioned, you know? So even though she highly likely doesn't have it, but she's just like, oh, do I, you know, if I have one bad thought, does that mean I'm depressed, you know?
Yeah, it's true. And I do have to say, like, so Zoe goes to this Singapore American school, and we have, because she has had, like, the odd time, a little bit of, like, issues with anxiety and stuff, And I do trust the guidance counselors at the school. And I think every, like, even local schools have guidance counselors, don't they? Yeah. Right? So I feel like that should be kind of like the first, like, either your pediatrician or the guidance counselor at school. Maybe, and maybe the guidance counselors at the schools are better because they can talk to the teachers to say, like, what have you noticed with this kid in your classroom, right? So then from there you can decide, okay, can the guidance counselor at the school give them some tools to work with? Because I know a lot of times Zoe was getting stressed out with, I think basically it was kind of like time management, right? Mm. She was on the swim team. She takes electric guitar. She, what else does my child do? Piano, you know, like she does so many things.
And so it's
like when you have a long day at school plus your extracurricular, then trying to fit in doing your homework. I can see where that can make a kid anxious, right? Yeah. And so it's then it's also like, okay, do we need to dial stuff back? Like, can she be doing all this extracurricular and still get her work done, right? Because kids also need to enjoy their childhood.
Yeah, exactly, being a child.
Yeah. Although it's funny, you know, people make jokes about, like, tiger parents here, right? And I have had people make jokes about my husband and I being a tiger parents. Yeah. But it's like the things that Zoe was doing is all things that she wanted to do. So maybe she's a tiger child. Yeah.
She just likes being busy. She's a workaholic at 13.
Yeah.
Yeah, but don't you think it could also be maybe she's just feeding off your energy? Like, you like being busy and working.
Yeah, it's true.
And so maybe she's also like, okay, I also want to, you know, have stuff going for me.
Yeah. I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, right?
Only time will tell.
Yeah.
Right. I guess, on that note, we've talked a lot about everything from Instagram filters to
it all.
Everything.
And probably even more so. So sorry about the rambling on.
No, it's fine. Everybody's always trying to see what everyone's opinions are on these kind of things. And sometimes some people think differently. So
it's okay to have a different opinion than somebody else. You know, it's just because I say and believe one thing doesn't mean you have to. You can 100% disagree with me, right? I'm always open into that kind of conversation. And I mean, I don't think I have any kind of extreme left or right kind of viewpoint at anything. But if there is any conversation to have to change somebody's viewpoint, whether it's mine or somebody else's, like, I feel like we're so quick to be like, oh, I'm going to unfollow. Like,
right.
It's all about
the
unfollow. The cancel culture is a bit ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
It just should be something that we should be open to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, like, everybody's so multifaceted. Just because they don't believe in one thing doesn't mean that everything else is compromised also.
Yeah.
I find myself having like a bit of a mental list of like, okay, this person just talked about this. Let's see in a few months if I still agree with them, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. But I also feel like it's part of growth as humans, right? Doesn't matter how old, like 50 or young.
Slide it in there.
Yeah, just slide it in there. Let's turn like me dropping that I'm 50 into a drinking game. Let's see how drunk people are by the time this interview is done.
The title of this podcast will be Andrea Claire is 50 years old in all caps.
Right? Can't wait to see that.
So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I'm pretty sure all our readers and listeners have really enjoyed all your insights. I mean, you've had such a colorful life. Excited for all your adventures to come. You can follow Andrea Claire on Instagram at @aclairebeauty and check out all her antics over there. You know, all the makeup, all the celebrities, all the goss. Thanks so much.
Tea.
Of course, yeah. Thanks, Andrea.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any feedback or suggestions, do drop us an email at sassy@sassymamasg.com or find us on social media. We are Sassy Mama Singapore on Facebook and Sassy Mama SG on Instagram. This has been Sassy Mama Unfiltered.